He is doing exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ask or think. Amen? He wants you to see it being done already. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We're going to be looking at a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning that you've, I'm sure, heard sermons about it before. I don't think I've ever preached one, so it's always new. Amen. Words always should always be fresh and new to us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word today, Lord, that we may see with our spiritual eyes something we haven't seen before, maybe hear something with our ears that we've not heard before. Thank you for opening your word up to us today, Lord. Thank you that you still do miracles. Greater things are to come. Amen. The word tells us in Luke chapter 8, 22-25. We're going to talk about crossing over. Anybody ready to cross over? Nobody's ready to cross over? Well, I'm going to cross over. Y'all want to go with me this morning? Amen. Now it came to pass. Oh, I'm loud. I'm like really loud. Okay. And it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship. Is that better? Okay. Luke 8, 22-25. Now it came to pass. Somebody said it came to pass. On a certain day. Thank God for certain days. That he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose, rebuked the wind, raging of the water. They ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water to obey him. Now it come to pass, we go back to chapter 8, verse 1, we read that it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and proclaiming the good tidings of the kingdom of God. And the word says, and the 12 were with him. Jesus and the 12 disciples who he had chosen were with him, going along, following and watching Jesus doing miracles, ministering to people, teaching parables, and ministering to those he came in contact with. And life seemed to be going on as usual. Things seemed to be comfortable. They were just doing what they were called to do, following Jesus and learning from him. And the certain days in their life, but then it came to pass on a certain day. The certain days in their life that God begins to speak and interrupt our status quo of living. Maybe you're in that comfortable place this morning. But on a certain day, the Holy Spirit has been hovering. And the voice of the Lord begins to speak into your life. And begins to shake things up. Things are about to change. And suddenly we find ourselves in a different direction in life. Last Sunday, I believe that this church took a different direction. As God began to speak to us, this is what I want. And we're in that certain day. We're in that certain time as a church. And there are times called Kairos times, and which simply means season or fitting time. And I believe that we're in that certain time where God says, I'm doing something now. Let's jump in. Let's jump into this, what I'm doing right now. Amen? So the enemy has wanted to discourage us, to keep us, and quit, to throw in the towel, as the prophetic word said. But on that certain day it came to pass. That it came to pass. As we go through the sermon this morning, we're going to see we're going to see some different things this morning. And the Spirit reminded us last Sunday that discouragement had been broken over this place. That a certain day the word of the Lord came to us to remind us to take up the word and let it be a mighty weapon in our mouth. And on that certain day, the Holy Spirit anointed our hands for all those who were present to set them forth. So we must go there. It's like an urgency in the Spirit that's saying it's time. This is your opportune time. The waters are being stirred. It's time to jump in. Let's go to the other side. Over there is where my prepared blessings are. You know, if you're not willing to move to where God says to go to, it might be there where your miracle's at. Amen. It might be there, that prepared place, over there on a certain day. So as I said before, as we go to the sermon this morning, we're going to see how it's not just about Jesus, the Word, being with us, but the urgency of Him getting us over to the side that He says to go to, the place He says to. The Word reads that He, Jesus, went into a ship with His disciples. He, Jesus, said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they, the 12 disciples, and He, Jesus, launched forth or set sail. So let's look at three things right off here. The first thing was a certain day. The second thing, He went into the ship with them. And the third thing, let us go to the other side. And the fourth thing is, they launched forth. You know, when it comes to God moving in your life, there are steps that He goes through. And with each step, there's always light enough on it to go to the next step. Because He never leaves you in darkness as to what He wants to do. Amen? But we have a promise that He would never leave us nor forsake us, but He will go with us all the way. If He says, let us go to the other side, then we have His word that we're going there. A ship is means of getting from one place to another. Amen? So He says, in order to get from here to there, I have already provided the means to get there. You don't have to get on board with me to get from here to there. That whatever may happen between here and there, it's already taken care of. We'll deal with it as we go. So don't let fear hold you back because you don't know what is between here and there. Amen? So because I have said, let's go to the other side. So what if the disciples had really gotten to questioning Him? Not like any of us would ever do that. Right? You know, we would never question Jesus. So because I have said, let's go to the other side. What if the disciples had questioned Him and began to hold back and said, we'll get into the boat if you tell us what awaits us on the other side. We'll get in the boat if you'll tell us that this is going to happen or that may happen. He did not give them time to ask questions. He simply said, let's get into the boat. He got into the boat. Why do we need to go to the other side, they may have asked. Things seem to be going well on this side. We're following you. We're listening to you teach parables. We are seeing miracles. We're seeing all this happen. Why upset the apple cart? Well, I'm here to tell you, why not upset the apple cart? Amen. So things seem to be going well. What if there's a storm? You know, they come up unexpectedly on the sea without warning. Well, what if Jesus said, this is what's going to happen? When we get there on the other side, we're going to encounter a demon-possessed guy. As soon as you get off the boat, he lives at the cemetery, and you're going to send his demons at a herd of 2,000 pigs. Now, this is a true story for some of you who don't know the Bible. Going to send his demons to a herd of 2,000 pigs, that's a whole lot of squealing pigs. So not only was this demon-possessed man making a whole lot of racket, can you imagine 2,000 squealing pigs? Because they love to squeal, right? Into a herd of 2,000 pigs, and then the pigs are going to jump into the lake. Now, what if he had told them that story? They would have said, now, hold on just a second, Jesus. Hold on. I think we definitely need to stay where we're at. But you know what? I found out that he doesn't always give us the bigger picture. And thank God he don't. Thank God that he doesn't. He simply said, let's go to the other side. So we're thankful that he doesn't show us the bigger picture. He just calls us to trust and obey him. If Jesus said it, okay, let's go. Trust and obey, for there's no other way but to trust and obey. And the hardest part is just getting into the boat. We don't like to get into the boat. Amen? The hardest part, the disciples and Jesus, the presence, launched them forth or set sail. Jesus represents his presence. Not only his presence, but the word. Jesus is the word. So the presence and the word got into the boat with them. He said, let us. He didn't say, you go to the other side and I'll stay back here and you come back and give me a report of what you're doing. No. He said, let us. And anytime Jesus tells you to do something, he is saying, let us. Because he's looking for somebody to cooperate with him in what he's wanting to do in the earth. That's how he gets things done. He's looking for somebody to come into agreement
with him and his word, him and him, amen. So the hardest part is getting into the boat. So they set sail and launch forward. And when Jesus says it's time to go to the other side, he has provided the boat. He's already provided the provision. If he tells you to do something, the provision's there. You may not see it. You may not see it at the moment. He has provided the boat to go, everything you need to in the boat to get to the other side. He's not going to call and tell us to do something that he doesn't provide a way and a means for it to be done, because he's not that kind of father. So not only the presence, but the word got in the boat with them. They started out with the presence and then the word, and they launched forth with the word. You know the excitement that is present when you get that word from God? When you get that prophetic word from God, or you see that word in the scripture and you're like, whoo, hot diggity dog, let's go, Lord. It doesn't take long for life to begin to happen and for you to begin to question if that was really God. You must have been talking about the person over there. They just missed it. You're talking about that person. Eagerness. They launched with eagerness and willingness. Let's go do this, God. So how many have learned that there is the word and then there is a time lapse of fulfillment of that word? What happens in between the word and then the manifestation of that word beginning to happen. But as they sailed, the word says, as they sailed. Sail means journey. It means going on a journey. Journey speaks of life as usual. It speaks of calm, peaceful, predictable, and like I said, comfortable. And we do not like our life to be interrupted, especially when things are going well. Just because things are going well doesn't mean that their things doesn't need to be shaken up a little bit, because we can get comfortable. Amen. We can get settled in and get comfortable. But he, Jesus, the Word, fell asleep. A definition of asleep is cease from paying attention. We know that Jesus, the living word, never sleeps. So if the word fell asleep, it must have fell asleep inside of the disciples, because they got fearful. Anybody hear that? If the word fell asleep, they quit paying attention because they got comfortable. They were on the sea sailing. The waters were calm. Nothing was happening. They were going to the other side. But the word fell asleep inside of them. It becomes easy sometimes to allow the word to go asleep inside of us. Become second place in our life. Especially, like I said, when things are going well. It's easy for the word to become dormant. Could we let the busyness of life, just being busy, settle in and we get comfortable? Has the word no longer a vital necessity as you sail through life? Has it no longer become a vital necessity? 1 Peter 5 says that we need to be alert, sober of mind. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he loves casual Christians. He loves Christians that are just settled, comfortable in the church. Woo! Hey, somebody. Notice it is after Jesus, the word, fell asleep that the storm comes down. One thing that we know, storms are part of life. And if you've not been saved long enough to know that, you need to be prepared because storms come. Just because we're Christians doesn't exempt us from the trials and things of life. But we have someone that we can go to in those times. Amen. So we're not going to get through life without facing a storm. Satan knows the only thing that can defeat him is the word of God. It is written. So don't allow the word to fall asleep inside of you. If you're sailing along in life, if you're journeying along in life and things are going well and you find it not a necessity to go to church, you find it not a necessity to pray, you find it a necessity not to fellowship, mm. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Without the Word, there's no faith, because faith in the Word is what ignites that flame within us to keep burning. What is written in the Word is what ignites our faith. He honors the Word. He tells us in His Word, He said, I honor my Word. I magnify my Word. I lift my Word up higher than my name. We have been asked of Holy Spirit to go to the other side. I have needed you over there. You've done all of this over here. It's a new day. It's a Kairos time. I'm calling you to get into the boat and not be afraid of how it's going to happen. But if I'm telling you to go, then I've provided the way. I have provided the protection. I've given you my presence. I've given you my word. I've given you everything that you need. You know those fishing stories? I haven't watched many of them. But just the commercials, they don't get on that boat and say, well, we're going out there and we're going to do this. You know, they do it for a living. They go. When they get on there, they're prepared to go. They are expecting to catch a big catch. Amen. Why not should we that are born again of God expect to catch a big catch? Amen. There's people out there that needs the word that we have, that needs this message of salvation that we have, that needs this good news that we have. But how can we give the good news if we have been comfortable in the house of God? If we just become the norm or the casual Christian? Let us get into the boat. Jesus didn't say that you get into the boat and go to the other side, but He said, let us go to the other side. So there are things over there that Jesus says, I have need of you. There's a man over there possessed with demons. He's not over here. He's over there. You're going to go over there and get him. Amen. You have many gifts and talents, God tells us, that are coming forth. I have need of you over there. The necessity of healing of the demoniac man required a relocation of the disciples. Where are you at today? When Jesus was walking in the cool of the garden, He said, Adam, where are you? He knew where He was at. But He was wanting Adam to say, where am I? Where are you in your relationship with God this morning? Have you allowed the Word to fall asleep in you? Have you just became a casual Christian? Because it's the thing to be. And it's a thing to say. Awake the Word up within you. Amen. Let the Word come alive within you. The act of faith is not just to trust that Jesus will still the storm while we are sailing on our journey in life, but the act of faith is taking Jesus' invitation to heart and say, yeah, this is really you saying for us to do this. This is really you saying for us to, it's time to go. The act of faith is believing that another side, the other side is not only possible, it is vital to what we are called to do as a body of believers. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. And as we speak and say, okay, God, I've heard you. Now I'm going to begin to continue to speak life to that word. Because when you let that word lie dormant, it's not that it's not still there. It just needs to be awakened. It just needs somebody to come along. And if it's to lay hands on you, or if it's to speak that prophetic word to you, if it's to hear something in this message that awaken that word up in you again, that begins to say, yeah, that word is still there, but I have allowed it to become dormant. I've allowed it to fall asleep. The disciples had seen Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. The Word healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils. But Jesus wanted them to learn how to do the Word that day for themselves. Because I found out if you begin to work the Word will work for you. Not working the Word to make it happen, but working the Word confessing that this is what the Word says. Amen? To do the Word is to live beyond the dictates of circumstances. To do the Word is to act like God told the truth even when it looks like He didn't. That's doing the Word. That's working the Word. That's calling those things as not as though they are. Doing the Word does not ignore the circumstances. It just looks beyond them to something greater, which is the truth of the promises of God. Facts may be the facts, but truth is the truth, and it will outweigh the facts every single time. Because the truth is what's going to stand in the long run. This word is what's going to stand in your life and endure the test of everything that you go through. This word. Cling to it with everything that you've got and allow it to be stirred up in you again. If you need healing, go to the Word and begin to work that Word over your body. And begin to speak to your body to line up with what the Word says. Hallelujah. Let us go to the other side. When God has said, let's go over, don't quit doing the Word at that moment. When God gives you that Word that says it's time to go, get in the boat, let's go. Okay, good. We're going to get in the boat, we're going to go. So now we can hunker down. And we can begin to say, okay, we got it made now. Jesus is on the boat with us, and we're going to hunker down. If you don't know what hunker down means, then you ain't from Kentucky. But you're going to hunker down with Jesus, and we're just going to go for the ride, and then we get quiet. The enemy wants you to do two things, and that is to be quiet and not say nothing, or to speak stuff that's just garbage. If he can get you to be silent and not say anything, or he wants you to talk so fast and so loud that you're not saying nothing, we need to learn to talk the Word. Amen. The storm will come along to discourage you, but remember what we told you. He said it's broken. Jesus said, we're going over it, over, and that settles it. When Jesus says something to you, you just claim it as a done deal, a done word. If he said it, that settles it. I just need to get in line and begin to cooperate with him and see what he wants to do. See what my part is. Amen. He says, so when Jesus says going over and it's settled, when something gets in your way, just speak to that storm and say, either get out of my way or I'm going through you. I'm going around you. I'm going over you. Whatever it takes, I am going to go and get to where Jesus said I'm going. Woo! Some of you all got mountains in your life right now. They told you it was a mountain. You need to say, mountain, get out of my way. I'm either going over you, in you, through you, or you're going to be removed. Either way, I'm going through. Amen. Get back that bulldog faith again. Take a hold of the Word like a dog does a bone. And if it takes you to growl, kick, scream, or whatever, to get your faith stirred up, take a hold of that Word and say, I refuse to be denied. Jesus, if you've said it, then no matter what happens, I'm going to hold on to your Word. Amen. So that the Word has been given and it's a settled thing. So they woke up Jesus. They woke up Jesus. They woke up the Word. They stirred up the Word. And they began to say, there's a storm. Don't you know that there's a storm and we're being drowned? Here you've told us to go to the other side. That's where you have need of us. And now we're out here in the middle of the lake, and it's probably midnight, and the storms always come at midnight. Amen? That's when your babies get sick, and you get that dreaded phone call and all that stuff. Everything was dark. You couldn't see nothing but lightning and wind and the feeling of the rain. Stir the Word up in you. Wake the Word up in you. So they woke him up. They woke up the Word. They stirred up the Word. For that means to stir up that Word. Began to read the Word again. Began to confess the Word. Began to praise God according to his Word. Jesus the Word. And once you wake up that Word inside of you, woo! There's something that's going to stand up on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost is going to stand up on the side of you. And it's going to begin to rebuke the wind. It's going to begin to rebuke the raging waters. It's going to begin to rebuke the waves, the tidal waves that's wanting you to smother you out. Woo! Amen. People that believe the Word, that are not just casual Christians, people that believe the Word are called peculiar people. People believe the Word are called all kinds of names. So while the world is crying about going under, we are praising about going over. When the world is talking about crashes and the economy and all that, God's people are just getting blessed and blessed and blessed. Our destination is determined. Our instructions are final. Our orders are final, which is the Word. So we must be determined to follow out those orders as a body of believers to reach the destination that he says is ours. So I want you all to agree with us this morning. It's time to go over. saying, get in the boat. We're in the boat. Yeah, there's going to be more things to overcome. There's going to be some storms along the way. But we together are stronger. You are my brother and you're my sister. And when you go through something, when the devil attacks you, he attacks me. Amen. When I know you go through something, I get angry at the enemy. And we go in warfare for each other. That's what a body does. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. We refuse to settle for anything less than what you said is ours as believers, Father. You told us this is a new day, a new time, a certain day that you've called us out of just being casual Christians back into a mode of where we are taking a hold of your word in the midst of whatever may be going on around us. And we are saying, it's settled, Lord. Settled it in my heart of an assurance that I can't be denied. Thank you for those that have come today to hear this word, that have come into this place, Lord. I speak your healing over them right now in the name of Jesus, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Whatever's afflicting your body right now, I called you healed and whole in the name of Jesus. Every organ of your body functioning like God has designed it in the name of Jesus. Ah, yes, Father God. No weapon that the enemy would want to throw at us shall succeed at reaching its intended purpose, Lord. And when the enemy may come in, you said that like a flood, your spirit's raising up a standard against him. I speak prosperity over your lives, every area of your life, in Jesus' name. I speak blessings running to overtake you, that you not only bless, but you are a blessing to others. I call for the gifts and things that are within you that have fallen asleep. I call them forth to be awakened for the kingdom of God for this season, and this day, this month. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your people are favored, that we walk in grace and abundant grace. Hallelujah. We receive grace and we offer grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you've called us forth, anointed us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You said, Lord, that these signs will follow those that believe. Speak that word over you right now in the name of Jesus. That your eyes are healed and whole in Jesus' name. God continues to do a total work in your body. Every fiber of your being re-energized for the glory of God. Speak health to you, man of God. And we continue to cover you as a body of believers, that you are made whole in the name of Jesus. I speak strength to your very core. Strength, exceedingly abundant strength in your body to do things that you haven't done in a long time. Battling a kidney disease. I speak healing over you in the name of Jesus. I speak life, new life, to that kidney in the name of Jesus. that it begins to function. And I speak to you now that what the doctors have said, God says, my word is overriding that. That my word is overriding that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
All right. Whoa. I was just telling Shirley, before I came to church this morning, I got a text from a really close friend that lives in Harrodsburg, and I had, this time last year, I was up there doing a project with them, and her husband has been diagnosed with a kidney disease, and they put him on hospice, and they're just, you know, taking it day by day, and kind of, you know, the doctors aren't giving him a whole lot of hope, and it went along, it was exactly what she just now said. So the last word I got was that he is improving a little bit, but you know, he's on hospice, and they're not expecting anything huge, and but God. So when Shirley, when she spoke that kidney about the kidney disease just now, my friend Kurt is not in this room, but I'm in this room. So.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God knows what he's doing. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we just lift Brad and Ashley up to you, Lord, that your angels are watching over them as they go back to Houston, you sweet Lord. We just continue to speak healing over Brad's body, that he is the healer of the Lord. Thank you, Father God, for those doctors, all those that you've assigned over him, divinely assigned over him. They may see something, but we see something different. Bradley healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Some of you may remember Dan Little. He used to be part of our church. We were talking to Phoebe Friday. Of course, Dan is really suffering with dealing with diabetes, and he's on dialysis 5 days a week, and he's had at least one leg removed. And when you're talking about the thing with kidneys, I just wanted the church to pray for him 5 days a week. Heavenly Father, I know that you love Dan, and I know Dan loves you. And we know it's a thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But you've come to might have life and have it more abundant. Now I just speak into the atmosphere that Dan Little's kidneys are strengthening. I speak recovery to them. And I thank you, Lord, for lifting him up, for giving him a visitation so that he knows, Lord God, without a doubt that you're with him. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. And Dan, you receive from the Lord what he has promised you, that he would forgive all of our iniquities and heal all of our diseases, and that he would redeem our lives from destruction. And Lord God, we thank you for watching after your word to perform it. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you that as we leave this place today, we leave, Lord God, full of the presence of your Spirit, knowing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Knowing, Lord God, that you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, that you have made us more than conquerors, that you have said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That all things are possible to him who believes. And Lord God, we thank you that as we face this next week, your word is alive and as strong in us as ever been. And it will continue to grow stronger, Lord God, as we submit to it and as we submit to your Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your word and you've given us your Spirit, Lord God, to help us understand and interpret and put that word in application in our lives. And Lord God, I thank you now that you're with us as we go from this place. You go with each one of us. We thank you for it, Lord God. Let us carry away from this place this morning new hope and new life and a sense of victory through the Word of God and through our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. Thank you.